Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Now, as the pastor of Denver Bible Church, it wouldn't come as a surprise to people in the audience that I'm not a Catholic. I'm not Roman Catholic. But obviously, Roman Catholics make up a huge percentage of Americans. And in this current political season, their thoughts, the thoughts of their leaders, what they do in the voting booth will have a lot of impact on our country. So I thought it'd be fun to talk to someone who's looked at the American Catholic voter over the last 200 years. In fact, George Marlin has written a book just due out from the publishers titled The American Catholic Voter. And I want to welcome George Marlin to Bob Enyart Live. Hi, George.
Hello. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Doing great. Thank you. And George, I've got a number of questions that I want to ask you about the Catholic Church and how it interacts with its members with American politics. But before I launch into half a dozen questions, why don't I give you the opportunity to give us what you think is an important observations about what's been going on with Catholics in American politics?
Well, the book I just wrote really covers a 200-year history and shows the political impact Catholics had on elections, particularly in the Northeast and the major inner cities, where they were a significant swing vote in numerous elections. You know, they supported certainly John Kennedy enthusiastically, but in the late 60s, Catholic voters swung away from the Democratic Party and more towards the Republican Party. In 1972, Richard Nixon was the first candidate, Republican candidate for president, to carry a majority of Catholic votes. Ronald Reagan carried a majority of Catholic votes. And why was that shift into play? And it's because the Democratic Party, which was the home party of the Catholics for over 100 years, became a very elitist, extreme left-wing party. And Catholics tend to vote along cultural lines. They look at various issues. And when you grow up in the inner cities, as I did in Brooklyn, it was family, parish, neighborhood that counted. And those were the issues of your life that you were concerned about. It was very parochial, very local. They frowned upon big government. They enjoyed local government, things to be in the hands of the people themselves. And as when the Democratic Party became a big government party, Catholics tended to break away. And so now we have Catholics who for decades now voted on the cultural issues, but now we see another change in the Catholic population. You have old-line Catholics like myself, members of the great generation like my father, veterans from the Second World War and their families, who were solid Roman Catholics, but we have had children and grandchildren now who have become what I call yuppie Catholics, cafeteria Catholics, and there's a lot of issues on abortion and gay rights and a host of other issues where young men and women don't want to follow the tenets of their church and sort of break off on their own. They call themselves Catholics, just as John Kerry calls himself a Catholic.
Right.
And they're not there with the issues, so you have a break.
And it seems to me that when the culture is such a heavy influence on young generations of any church, what that is an indicator of is that the church is not really discipled. It hasn't really taught the young people coming up through its ranks. So those young people are bait. They're vulnerable to the culture.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, I live in New York. And you have to wander through Manhattan. The Republicans are coming here with their convention. They're going to be shocked what they see in a lot of Manhattan. So a lot of young Catholics who their parents worked very hard to provide them with an education, to give them all the opportunities in the world, now that they're on top of the heap, making money, living in fashionable neighborhoods, surrounded by people who aren't the old neighborhood type of people they grew up with, some may say they're becoming snobs. Some may say they're falling into bad company. But you see a break there. So we have to look at the Catholic voter today as two groups, the practicing Catholic and what I call the cafeteria Catholic, people who just pick and choose. And I'm of the opinion that a lot of people take a walk from certain issues like the right to life issues because they're embarrassed now. They're working on Wall Street, living on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. They want to be frowned upon by the new company they've fallen in with, very left-wing people who sort of laugh at the Roman Catholic Church, because in many circles it's still the last acceptable prejudice to poke fun at Catholics.
Well, that is true. Hollywood, if you look at, let's say, the last 500 Hollywood movies released, and you look at every one where there's a priest in the movie, and you indicate whether the priest is a good guy or a fool or evil, and it seems like Hollywood's presentation of either Christians, Protestant ministers, pastors, or priests is that they're hypocrites, they're sexual predators, they're just whatever. Pretty bad representation.
It's not the days of Bing Crosby playing Father O'Malley. Absolutely right. And again, they get away with it all the time because to be anti-Christian is an acceptable prejudice. If they did that to a rabbi and portrayed a rabbi in that fashion, well, the New York Times and everybody in town would be against them. The movie would disappear, or the program would disappear in 5 minutes. But if you're a Christian, they think it's open-minded to tolerate anti-Christianity.
It's okay to be sexist. In America's culture today, you can be sexist if you're mocking men and fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You can be racist if you're mocking white Europeans.
That is correct.
And you could be bigoted if you're mocking Christians. So,
absolutely.
So there we have it. Hey, I've got this question for you. I grew up in a Catholic Republican household.
Oh, okay.
And
where was that?
Many years ago in New Jersey.
Oh, really? Okay. So
we went to St. Anthony's Church in Hawthorne, New Jersey.
Okay.
And I went 8 years Catholic grammar school.
All right. Well, I spent 17 years in the Catholic educational system.
Wow. Wow. And I tell you, I learned a lot because then I went to a public high school for 4 years, and it was like it was review.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I really learned nothing for 4 years in a public high school, and I mean nothing.
It's even worse now in the Northeast.
Yeah, I bet that's true. So anyway, well, here's a question I have. So I grew up Republican. And I take my Christianity very seriously, Jesus Christ. I try to understand his word, the Bible. And when I look at the government and I criticize the government, I see that the Democratic Party is just so evil. They're radically pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, pro-atheism, evolution. But then I look at the Republicans and I see much of the same in the Republican Party. So I'm wondering, why does it appear that when Catholic bishops, when they do threaten to deny communion to a politician, it's pretty much always a Democrat. It seems that they've left out the Republicans, who should also be censured.
Well, let me suggest this. First of all, everyone should understand that the Pope himself, as late as April 17, 2003, told the bishops throughout the world that they have an obligation to deny Holy Communion to Catholics demonstrating, quote, outward conduct which is seriously, clearly, and steadfastly contrary to the moral norm.
All right, when did he say that?
That was in April of 2003.
All right,
and
so
just
last
recently,
year.
You know, you're from New Jersey, Archbishop Myers of Newark recently declared, quote, that all Catholic officials who promote abortion can spare the church scandal by opting not to seek communion when they attend Mass. They criticized Governor Grevey, who was a Democrat. And yeah, I'll say, many of the politicians who have been chastised are Democrat, and that's because support for abortion is a litmus test for the political advancement in the Democratic Party. And
yeah,
many Catholics,
true.
Like Kerry and Kennedy, yeah. have moved from being personally opposed to radical advocacy of abortion rights. Yeah. However, I should point out that Republicans have not always been let off the hook.
Right.
Tom Ridge, who's now the Homeland Security Secretary when he was Pennsylvania's governor,
right.
is bishop in Erie County. Forbade him from speaking on church property due to his pro-abortion views. But I'll say this much about Ridge. When the bishop told him to not go to the communion rail, he admitted that the bishop was stating what a man of the church should state, and he said, I've created my own problem.
Hmm.
But don't get me wrong, I live in New York.
Yeah.
We have Governor George Pataki, who's a nominal Catholic. We have Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, he's a radical pro-abort, even partial birth abortion,
that
which is
correct.
Just the
pro-gay
most obvious.
Rights, pro-gay rights, pro-domestic partnership, and I'm of the opinion there should be one standard, and guys like that should be criticized. But it's left up to the local bishop, and you know, some of them will say, I'm hoping they will stay away themselves. The bishop Bishop Burke of St. Louis basically told Kerry, do not come into St. Louis and go to a communion rail. I hope as time goes by that more bishops have the guts to take that stand. And but you're right. There are, if you look at the line, what troubles me is you look at the lineup of the Republican National Convention. The keynote speakers, Schwarzenegger, Giuliani, Pataki, are all pro-abortion. Mm-hmm. Pataki went so far in 2000 to call for the repeal of the pro-life platform in the National Republican platform. And so I don't know why they want to give them attention, but they do. You know, George Bush is solid on these issues, but his political gurus, you know, want to put up these pro-abortion guys. I don't know if they think it makes them look open-minded. They have to understand the left will never support them. No matter how left they look, no matter how many bones they try to throw in that direction to try to befriend them or whatever, it never works. They will use them, laugh at them, and they will never vote for George Bush. So be a man, no. Stand up for your issues, and just go with it and fight the good fight.
And, of course, they will not vote for George W. Bush. But, you know, even Bush has appointed more than his share of radically pro-abortion judges, pro-homosexual judges in Texas. He really helped to ruin the Texas Supreme Court with pro-abortion judges.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's tragic. And during the presidential debate 4 years ago, he said that that a judge's position on abortion was not his consideration when he was nominating judges. He didn't have an abortion litmus test, and that it was not his goal to overturn Roe v. Wade. He said those things. And he repeated that when he signed the partial birth abortion ban just a few months ago. He repeated that that he is not trying to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Well, you know what I find odd? All right. On many issues, George Bush is just fine. But Republicans have this psychological need of some sorts, which I can't fully understand. They always want to get patted on the head by the New York Times and other liberal media.
Right.
And so they have to come out and say, well, I don't have a litmus test. It's okay for the Democrats to have a litmus test, mm-hmm. that you have to be pro-abortion. If you remember some years ago in 1992, Governor Casey, the pro-life governor of Democratic governor of Pennsylvania,
yeah.
They would not even let him speak at the Democratic convention. In
right, right,
now,
right.
He represented at the time, I think, the third or fourth largest state of electoral votes. He was reelected overwhelmingly with 66% of the vote in the state, and they wouldn't let him speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay. Can you imagine if the Republican Party said, you know, to George Pataki or Rudy Giuliani, sorry, you can't speak because you're pro-abortion?
Well, that'd be wonderful.
It would be wonderful, but you can imagine the reaction from the media that,
right.
Look at these monsters, they have a litmus test. It's totally absurd. But when the Democrats do, it's okay. There's not even a blip on it. Nobody mentions it.
Right, and of course, the Republicans, and the Republicans can no longer criticize the Democrats because they do the same thing.
I will say this in defense of the administration, though. I had an opportunity to be with one of the leading guys in the Federalist Society who makes many recommendations on judges. And probably three-quarters of the judges they have appointed that the president has sent to the Senate have been confirmed are good on the issues that concern us. So that's a plus. I mean, you're not going to get the entire loaf. We're never going to get the entire loaf.
Well,
but if we get three-quarters of the loaf, I don't think that's a bad batting
average. Well, I'm all for doing the best that you can do in any given circumstance. But, you know, if I was a political leader in Germany and I had to make an appointment and here's someone who says, well, I support killing Jews, well, then there's no possible political concern that's going to move my hand to put him in a position of power because he's a murderer. He believes in the shedding of innocent blood. And I think because we Christians have tolerated and compromised with murder, we treat it as though it's just some minor political compromise. And I think we are actually undermining our ability to ever win the debate.
Well, some of what you say is true, but I would submit this to you. Even the New York Times last year had a full-page piece,
mm-hmm.
in the Sunday Times, about how young people coming up are, we see larger and larger segments of younger kids who are pro-life. And the New York Times is sort of lecturing mothers, how dare you, what's happening here, that you're letting your children grow up pro-life.
Yeah, right, right.
We're seeing a chipping away. You're right, essentially. We're not going to beat it in the afternoon. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. What we have to do is chip away, chip away, chip away.
Right.
And we are winning most of the battles. And we are seriously chipping away at the number of abortions being committed, and we certainly stopped the expansion of abortion, and now we're looking to limit it. That's why the pro-abortion crowd are so paranoid that they cannot let even reasonable men and women contemplate something like voting against partial birth abortion, which everyone knows is absolutely brutal. Even extreme left-wingers like former Mayor Koch of New York and late Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, left-wing guys said it is abominable, partial birth abortion.
And
they cannot concede an inch, because if they give up an inch willingly, then the house of cards begins to collapse. And their own radicalism is showing how unreasonable and how ridiculous they are, and we're having certain victories as a result. It's not perfect, don't get me wrong.
There's a young Christian gal who just got a degree as a nurse here in Denver, and she went to Regis College, which is a Catholic college.
Oh, it's Jesuit, but that could be a pagan temple sometimes.
Jesuit.
You've got to be very careful with
Good
Jesuits.
Point.
And not what they used to be.
Good point. I should have said Jesuit.
Yes.
Which is an order of monks.
They are order of priests who were the great defenders, great men for most of the history, but I regret to say the left has infiltrated the
Jesuits.
The Jesuit
society. Fully.
Many of those universities are not what they used to be.
Yeah, and so we have, so she told us, and we brought the information to the Denver Archdiocese, as she did, but that she was taught in her nursing class by a woman who was employed by Planned Parenthood. And they were taught about abortion and how to do abortions, and that abortion is a great thing. And I lived for a couple of years in South Bend, Indiana. In fact, I worked, I did a lot of my writing in the library at Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
And that campus is just loaded with, students and faculty members who are pro-abortion, pro-homosexual.
Oh, absolutely.
No,
don't get me wrong. I went to a Catholic college as well, and I graduated 30 years ago. But many of them are not what they used to be. They've been infiltrated in the name of academic freedom. They feel they cannot, criticize. They have to have it there. They have to permit this to happen. Catholic law schools have been infiltrated. Don't get me wrong. The secular humanists have been making moves on all sides of the fence, and they have invaded the Roman Catholic Church.
Right. Now,
they despise, living in the Northeast, you see how much they despise the Church, because ultimately the Church will not surrender in their mind on certain issues. Even though people have infiltrated and there's some bad people.
Right.
It still stands solid that it is opposed to abortion, it is opposed to gay rights, it is opposed to gay marriages, and that that's so many of them that they purposely want to destroy the Church.
And George Marlin, the author of The American Catholic Voter, I have to tell you that as a Protestant and the pastor of a Bible church and a talk show host for 12 years, I have to say that our Protestant leaders have not been as clear about abortion as many of the Catholic leaders. And I find that tragic that the mainline Protestant denominations have dropped the ball.
The mainline, you're right. The mainline Protestant churches, it wasn't for people like yourselves. It's amazing when we look at the history of Catholics and evangelical Protestants. It's not been an easy one. But in the last, since Roe versus Wade, we see more and more Catholics and evangelicals coming together, working together for a common cause, while the mainline Protestant churches are just lost out there someplace.
Yeah, and we do. I had a conversion experience in high school, a freshman in high school, with campus life. I grew up a Catholic, but I had a conversion experience where I felt like really I was just religious but didn't have a heart for God, and I wasn't sorry for my sins. And so I became what's called, commonly a born-again Christian. And after that, I thought that if you were Catholic, when you died, you were sent straight to hell. Do not pass go. Don't collect $200. And I thought that for quite a few years. And then I got in the pro-life movement fighting the killing of unborn children. And I met some of the neatest Christians I had ever known in my life. And I was startled to find out that they were Catholics. And I actually had a bit of a crisis going on internally, thinking, how could they be great Christians? They're Catholic. Because I thought all Catholics believed in reincarnation and were pagans, because that's the Catholics that surrounded me when I grew up. The priests and the nuns, they said the Bible was like Greek mythology, and we didn't have to believe it.
How old are you?
I'm 45.
All right, well, I'm 52. All right, well, you caught the beginning of the madness in the post-Vatican II era. But let me put this in perspective. I was out in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago to speak to a couple of groups out there, and had the pleasure of spending evening with Phyllis Schlafly.
Yeah.
She on Wednesday of convention week, the Republican convention in New York, I will be there with her. She has her Republican pro-life luncheon where she's honoring the pro-life congressman. And Phyllis Schlafly is a Roman Catholic, one of the great ladies of our time.
Single-handedly
defeated the ERA amendment. And people like Phyllis, there are many of them around the country, who have done tremendous, tremendous work. And, you know, she's not a young chicken anymore. But she's been fighting this battle for a half a century, and
yeah.
There are many like her. And
yeah.
They're all over the country. And if we don't unify together and work for this common cause, we're certainly going to go down the rat hole.
Well,
and I'm optimistic in many ways. As much as I watch John Kerry, who claims to be a Roman Catholic, and he troubles me greatly because he is sold out on almost every conceivable issue there is, and people have to be aware of that. And our job as Roman Catholics is to make other Roman Catholics aware of the fact that he may say he's a Catholic, but in reality he is not, and his public record proves that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah,
that's our job for the next couple of months.
When somebody is an aggressive child killer like John Kerry, that's evidence, that's strong evidence of where their heart is at toward God. Because when you humble your heart to God, you're softened and you get this love for your neighbor that there's no way you're going to support the killing of an innocent child. And so with John Kerry treated by some like a regular Catholic, it's like or a Christian, it's like they don't care that he's headed to hell, that John Kerry hates Jesus Christ, because we could read his heart through his words. And Jesus said that out of your heart, the mouth speaks from your heart. And so it's in his best interest, and every politician who promotes the killing of innocent children, it's in their best interest to tell them that they are unacceptable.
Well, we have a job. You know, as one human being, I cannot judge ultimately what's in a person's heart and soul. It's not my job to judge. What I can judge is his public statements, public record. What his afterlife is like, that is for God to decide, not for me to decide. But I can say this.
Yeah.
As a Roman Catholic, looking at John Kerry, who claims to be a Roman Catholic, his public record is abominable. Okay? It is absolutely abominable. And to have him walk around and say, as he just said a few weeks ago, I think it was Time magazine, I believe life begins at conception. Well, Mr. Kerry, if life begins at conception, then how can you be pro-abortion? It's oxymoronic, okay?
Well, of course. And he said that he cannot legislate his personal beliefs.
Well, that got to be frank. That's one of the silliest statements you can ever make.
Right.
Every time you get on the floor of the Senate and make a decision to vote for something, you're voting for something in which you believe.
Right. And, for example, that blacks should not be lynched. Right? Blacks should not be lynched. That we should all be able to agree with that. But some people think they should. Racists think they should.
Wow.
So it's, I guess it's John Kerry's personal belief that blacks should be protected by law.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
Mario Cuomo, for instance, you know, this is the hypocrisy. Mario Cuomo, as governor of New York, claiming to be a Roman Catholic, would say, I am personally opposed to abortion, yet who am I to force my views on others? However, every year for 12 years as governor, he said he vetoed the death penalty, even though close to two-thirds of the state legislature voted for it. The people of the state of New York were overwhelming for the death penalty.
So he
forced when he vetoed it, he said, it's a personal matter. I have to veto this.
Well, right. They're hypocrites.
They're hypocrites.
Because
Absolutely.
They're against, they support killing the innocent, and they are against killing the guilty.
That's right. But the point is this. For them to say, I cannot vote my, who am I to force my belief? You're suggesting that on any time you vote on the floor of the Senate, you should vote opposite of what you believe. So if you're for high taxes, you should actually vote for lower taxes. If you're for the death penalty, you should vote against it because you're saying you can't enforce your views on anybody. It's just absurd.
It is inane. But on when we look at somebody like John Kerry, and I realize the point you made, human beings, we're not infallible, and we can't perfectly read someone's heart. But Jesus Christ gave us he gave us the commission to go out and preach the gospel and warn people that apart from Jesus Christ, that they're going to face judgment day on their own, responsible for their sins, apart from his sacrifice for them. And so that's really ultimately the whole battle that we're in is a spiritual battle where we have to warn people, if you fight against God, when you die, God is going to judge you. That's ultimately what should be the concern of John Kerry and the message communicated to him. Abortion is a symptom that his heart is hard against God.
Now, the final judgment is the judgment all people should be concerned with. But in this world of secular humanism, where people spend a great deal of time and effort trying to deny the existence of God and anything that is religious, unfortunately, a lot of people fall for it. I don't know how bad it is out in your neck of the woods, but I know up in the Northeast here, it's very bad. In the last couple of years, we have lost huge battles up here. We have lost, we kept bottled up for years, the gay rights bill in the state of New York. That was recently passed. Laws were passed that in the past, a university, or better yet, a hospital that was run by a religious organization, they were exempt from certain rules in terms of contraceptive abortion, things like that. Those exemptions in New York went down the tube last year. Okay, and a lot of religious medical people are going to have to make a decision whether or not they're going to be in the medicine business, in the hospital business anymore. We have lost a lot up here. And it's getting worse and worse because I'm seeing a turn of the tide up in the Northeast. You got to remember, Mrs. Clinton running for governor, for a U.S. senator up in New York, won a huge victory.
Right.
In 2000. I'm Rick Lazio, who was their opponent, is a friend of mine. I was with him that evening when he lost, and we thought it was going to be a close race. We got our pants kicked off.
Right.
Rick lost by 1 million votes. And in New York,
in one
New
state,
Jersey, where you got Senator Corzine, it was awful. We're losing elections big up here. We don't have the numbers anymore. So it's up to the South, the Southwest, the West to provide the numbers on this cause because the secular humanists are controlling, you know, the mayor of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, is a disaster on these issues.
Yeah,
the governor
of course.
Of New York is
right.
a disaster.
Right.
The same in Connecticut, the same in New Jersey.
Yeah,
it's
and you know, Sean Hannity can't say enough good about Rudy Giuliani. He just praises him every week and that he would be a great man on the ticket for the White House.
Well,
and that's an example. Sean Hannity is supposed to be a conservative Christian pro-life spokesman, and he's got Hitler as his idol.
Well, let me tell you something. I was the executive director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. I was the landlord of the World Trade Center. On 9/11, my success went down on 9/11. Previous to that, I ran for mayor of New York against Rudy Giuliani and David Dinkins. I lost. And I made these issues perfectly clear in terms of where Rudy was on all the social issues and the problems we had with him.
Yes. Now, George Marlin, we are out of time.
Okay.
The show is over. But this has been interesting. And The American Catholic Voter is your book. I want to thank you. And perhaps we could... I'm going to ask my producer to call you and talk about some other issues. Maybe we could debate a bit on the air.
Sounds good.
I really appreciate your effort. We're out of time. See you next week.